Good morning. Well, let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we know the words of the prayer that we heard today, don't we? But one of the things that I don't know that we're taught as much is the way in which we should pray this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And we had that example today of that story about praying like shamelessly, right? Expecting that God is going to be who God is and answer our prayer. So I'm going to put it into modern day terms. So everyone here who is a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, or an uncle, you can probably identify with this. So you're in the store, and your little one is with you, and they see something they want. And what's the first question? Can I get this? And your answer may be yes. Your answer may be no. Or you might not answer. But I really want it. I mean, I really, really want it. Might be the same. Please, please, I beg of you, this will just make me so happy. Don't you want to see me happy? I'll be so happy if you buy this for me. Right? Have we heard that one? No? Who said no? I think that was a kid who said no. Yeah, okay, so you're kind of relating to this, huh, Christopher? How about this one? I promise you, okay, I won't ask for anything else if you just get this for me. I won't ask for never, ever, 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 ever again. Just this once. Okay, I really promise to be good. I'll do everything that you say. I promise you I'll be good if you just please buy this. I need this. Just this once. And then how about this? When they've exhausted that and they go this way. Come on! Come on! Yeah, I incited one child. Come on! Okay, if you're not going to do it for me, do it for you. You're such a good mommy. It's who you are. You're always good, mommy. Please, daddy, please. You're such a loving daddy. Please. Please. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be thy name. In Greek, that is what's called a passive voice, where we're asking God to keep God's name holy. Like when our child says, but mommy, you're a good mommy. Don't you want to be a good mommy? You're always a good mommy. And they speak the truth, don't they? When they're begging us for something. That's what we open our prayer with. God, you are holy. Keep your name holy. Keep your promises. Be the God who you are. And then we move to thy kingdom come. Bring your kingdom now. God, keep your promise and be the God who you are, who we know, and bring your kingdom now. And then the rest of the Lord's Prayer is what that kingdom looks like. And we know it's the opposite of this world, right? It's the opposite of a world that says that we should separate ourselves from each other, that individualism is more important than community, that segregation is important, that there are haves and have-nots. It's a win-lose situation, a world in which hate and name-calling has become the norm, where we're focused on the accumulation of things and looking out for number one. You know, I had a glimpse of God's kingdom coming this past week. And it was amazing. Seven of us, five children and two adults, traveled together to Luther Springs, which is our camp here in Florida, in Hawthorne, just outside of Ocala. And we had all of our baggage with us, all of our baggage. And in the car, they were allowed to use their electronic items. We had our pillows, we had our electronics, we had our clothing that we were going to use for the week, our bathing suits, our closed-toed shoes, and we had with us our hang-ups and our anxieties. Now, when we got to the camp, the first thing, when everyone jumped out, I think I told them to give me their electronics, but I probably forgot because we were so excited about getting in and checking in, but discovered that some of them still had their electronics. Okay, so they gave them over. You're going to watch it for me, right, Pastor Marianne? Everything's going to be good, right? I'm going to have it on the car ride home. And blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I will have it for you, not to worry. And so for 1 week, these children were unplugged. There were no video games. There was no texting. There was none of that. They were unplugged. And for the most part, I would say that Nurse Dooley, as Miss Dina was known up there since she was our camp nurse, and I were pretty much the same way, unplugged as we could possibly be from the rest of the world. You know, it was really awesome not to hear every 2 minutes when you have the news on breaking news and recognizing it's that the temperature might go up a degree or two versus something that's happening worldwide that truly is breaking and concerning. There was no pressure from the sense of urgency that comes. We weren't being exposed to people trying to sell us things and making us better than who we are, saying that we aren't okay the way we are. As the week progressed, we started to live into what God's kingdom looked like every day. Each and every day, we were fed 3 meals a day, just about the same time every day. And there was enough for everyone to eat. And not only was there enough, there was, for those of you who went, we got to have what? Seconds. Yeah, we got to have seconds. We had water, pure, clean water, all of the time. We ate our meals together and we prayed. We prayed all of the time. We prayed before our meals. In the morning, we sang praises and we worshiped the Lord right after we had our breakfast. And then we had Vespers in the evening where we prayed and we worshiped the Lord, thanking God and asking God for things to keep us safe for the day. We also had worship time together in which we had devotions right before we went to bed. We studied God's word for an hour each and every day and learned something new about Jesus' way. We learned about forgiveness. We learned about service. We learned about humbleness. We learned about how each person has something to offer. And here's the best thing. There was an hour of Sabbath time every day that was called rest and relaxation. And so right after lunch, everyone went back to their cabins along with the counselors and all of the staff and rested for 1 hour. There was stewardship that went on. My goodness, we all cleaned up our own spaces, and then one person from the table each day would volunteer to go and get the wet rag and wring it out and do what? Wipe down the tables and make sure everything was clean. Our middle schoolers went and cleaned out the worship area, outdoor worship area. There was community building. They did what's called a challenge course where they had to work together. So there wasn't a winner or a loser, but all of them worked together so they were all successful in whatever activity it was that they were doing. All together, because when all were successful, that meant that together they were successful. They accomplished something. They learned to listen. You heard that one. And to talk to each other. And that progressed as the week went on, because in the beginning, you know, you say that, well, this person's going to tell you how to do this, and everybody has an opinion on how to do it. But then they learned how to be quiet and listen to what that person was saying. Here's another thing. They had a buddy. You never walked around that camp by yourself. Even Nurse Dooley and I, when we took our hikes around the camp, always went together. You shared everything that you had. You came to understand each other. And in the sharing, you know those anxieties that we brought with us that you kind of can't check and leave in the car? We began to open up about those anxieties and speak them and name our fears. And once those fears were named, we were able to help each other with those fears. And there were fears and anxieties. We had everything that we needed up there. We had each other. We had God. It was the most beautiful thing for me to witness and to watch as our campers came together. And when one was struggling, another one came to hold that child, to rub their back, and to say, "It's going to be okay." We have one child who had a little bit of anxiety issues who had, actually there were a couple of them that had a little pet, stuffed animals that they brought wherever they went. And do you know that every single person in that camp would go over and pet that little animal and ask how Kitty was doing that day? How wonderful is that? If Kitty was like left somewhere, where's Kitty? Get Kitty. We got to get Kitty. We got to get Kitty over. Kitty was taken care of. Friday came. Kids were dragging their feet because they knew it was time to go. It was really quiet in the car. You could hear a pin drop because they were leaving the place where they were loved for exactly who they are. They didn't want to leave. There were some tears in the car and quietness. They didn't want to come back to a place that's going to look at them and judge them by what they're wearing, by who they hang out with, by what they have and what they don't have. They lived for a week in a place where God's justice, God's kindness, God's mercy, and God's humbleness prevailed. One of our children said, "This is the best week I have ever had in my entire life." Life-changing. Another one said to me, and it wasn't one of our youth, said to me, "I'm not afraid anymore." How awesome is that? They came away understanding that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when they were leaving this parking lot, they said, "You're my brother in Christ. We're family. We're going to see each other again." How awesome is that? As they come to the realization and understanding that we are brothers and sisters. It's not just something we say, but it's something we live. And they understand what that means. They didn't want to come back into this world. And I have to be honest with you. I didn't want to come back either. And it has nothing to do with not loving Carl, my husband, just like it had nothing for them that they don't love their families. But they wanted to stay in that holy, sacred place. And I don't blame them. Because I wanted to stay in that place and not come back to this world, to a world, to a place where God's justice, mercy, humbleness has been hijacked and distorted and made perverse. I wanted to go back to that holy place where God's justice and humbleness and mercy is lived out. Yet I realize that for all of us, for our children, for you and for I, that we participate in the bringing of the kingdom of God, in who we are. We are children of the risen Christ, and we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are children of the risen Christ, and that is how we live our lives as children of the risen Christ, who has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we do that in every single one of our actions. And we do this, the power of the Holy Spirit. And in our prayers, we ask that God help and guide us. We get to stand together before God in the Lord's Prayer, and we beg for what we need. It's like we're saying, come on, come on, God, be who you are. Be holy. Bring your kingdom now. Help us, gracious Lord God, to be a participant in bringing that kingdom. One of the nights, our middle school youth, and we did have one of our youth got kind of popped up into middle school, which was totally awesome for him. So he got a chance to participate a little bit about what confirmation's going to be like. They went down to the lake to pray. And when they went down to the lake, they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And they started out slowly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will. And then the next thing you know, they started to stand up and scream it at the top of their lungs, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And after they said their amen, they heard the prayer echo all across the lake. Returning, being placed out there, repeated again and again and again. You and I, we get to pray this same exact prayer, and we get to participate in the coming of the kingdom as we pray. And so now, so that you can all have a sense of what camp was like, we too are going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And as we start to pray it, I want you to start off softly and then go louder and louder and louder. And for those of you who can stand, I want you to stand at the end, and I want that last line to be so loud that perhaps we can hear our own echo. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.